Offering bounties for Supreme Court justice sightings, now taking aim at congressional baseball game. Well, that's appropriate. That's where the Bernie Sanders campaign volunteer took his list in order to try and assassinate as many Republican members of Congress as possible. An active group that offered cash to anyone who saw the conservative Supreme Court justices now planning on crashing this year's congressional baseball game. The group shut down D.C. See, they're lefty. So it's okay. Even in the name, shut down D.C., an attempt to stop our government from functioning. If it's on the left, it's cool. It's all good. That's what this country's all about, see. The group, Shut Down D.C., went as far as to say the charity game set for July 28th at National Park could get nixed if enough people show up. The group shared a link for people to sign up. The link sent users to another activist group website, the Now or Never Collective, which is organizing the protest due to Congress's inaction on climate change. Quote, "The monsters tearing apart our country deserve no peace," says Shut Down D.C., If hundreds of us turn out to the congressional baseball game this month and risk arrest, there's a real chance we could shut the whole thing down. The baseball game is the first target for Now or Never, with other planned protests set for August 5th and September 30th, according to its website. Shut Down D.C. did not mention if it will join Now or Never on those dates. The congressional baseball game has been held since 1909. Sees members of Congress play a game in support of various charities in Washington, D.C. So that's a good thing, definitely, to close down, because that's going to fulfill whatever desires it is that these left-wing activists have. It'll definitely deny some charities some much-needed funding, but hey. Shut Down D.C. offered bounties as high as $200 in early July to anyone who saw Justice Roberts, Kavanaugh, Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, or Amy Coney Barrett and shared their locations. All six of the justices targeted by the group, of course, ruled in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization that Mississippi can maintain its law banning abortion after 15 weeks of gestation. The group did not respond to a Washington Examiner's request for comment. Well, you know, I'm sure the White House will fully support this, after all. While, of course, condemning violence, condemning shooting as many members of Congress as possible. And I'm sure if there are any acts of violence that occur here, if any members of Congress get shot or lose their lives again, they'll condemn it, of course. Jason Reimer with the latest news update.
A former senior investigator for the U.S. House committee probing the January 6th insurrection says he has enough signatures to run as an independent for Missouri's U.S. Senate seat. John F. Wood says he has the 10,000 voter signatures he needs to appear on the ballot. Missouri's Secretary of State must still certify those signatures. The Federal Election Commission has released new information about fundraising in that Missouri Senate race. Democrat Lucas Kuntz has raised the most money so far, $4.4 million. He's followed by Republicans Eric Schmidt at $3.5 million and Vicky Hartzler at $3.3 million. Two men are dead after a shooting Sunday night near a park in Clinton. 19-year-old Eric Brower is charged with second-degree murder. Christian County leaders have unveiled plans for a new county campus located away from downtown. The project will be located in multiple phases on more than 39 acres of land west of Highway 65. And longtime Springfield radio station owner Ken Meyer has died at the age of 94 after a long illness. He owned Meyer Communications with his wife, Jane, which owned four radio stations. I'm Jason Reimer, Springfield's Talk 104.1.
First alert forecast sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements Heat Advisory through 8 o'clock tonight for counties west of Springfield and along the Arkansas line. Sunny hot, 99 today, heat index of 103. Mostly clear, 76 tonight. Tomorrow and Thursday, 102. Friday, 104.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Sarah Myers.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I want to tell you about my friends over at Beatles Property Maintenance. Now, first things first, Beatles is spelled B-E-A-D-L-E-S, and they do a variety of home repairs and maintenance. Now, the Beatles Property Maintenance team, they are a local family-owned business, and they have been serving the Springfield area for over a decade. Now, a few of the things that they can do for you is they can do mold remediation, they can do crawl space repairs, they also can do real estate services, water restoration, plus a lot of those items that may be on your honey-do list that you don't necessarily want to do. Maybe you have a leaky toilet, maybe you want a bathroom remodel, maybe you just want your ceiling fan replaced. Those are also things that the Beatles Property Maintenance team can do for you. So whether you have a big home repair that needs to be done, or maybe you have a smaller scale repair, either way, the Beatles Property Maintenance team can get that taken care of for you. Now, you can find all of their contact information housed at ksgf.com under the Sarah's Endorsements tab.
Well, charges have been dropped against 9 leftist activists working for television host Stephen Colbert after they illegally occupied the U.S. Capitol complex in June. You may recall this. They got caught wandering the halls, but they're left-wing activists, so it's cool. Trespassing, parade, whatever. It's all good. Don't worry about it. You're one of ours. Quote, after a comprehensive review of all the evidence and the relevant legal authority, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia has determined that it cannot move forward with misdemeanor charges of unlawful entry against the 9 individuals who were arrested on June 16, 2022 at the Longworth Office Building. The individuals who entered the building on 2 separate occasions were invited by congressional staffers to enter the building in each instance and were never asked to leave by the staffers who invited them, though. Members of the group had been told at various points by the U.S. Capitol Police that they were supposed to have an escort, but they ignored it. This seems, somewhat similar to January 6th, where people were invited into the Capitol by law enforcement. We know that it happened because there is video of it, video that Nancy Pelosi tried to block from being released, but a judge said, no, you can't hide that from the public. And you see law enforcement open the doors. You see law enforcement welcoming. Some even took selfies with the people. But you see, those were Trump supporters that were invited in. So that's different. If you are a left-wing activist working for Stephen Colbert and you're invited in and then decide, well, we're just going to do what we want in the Capitol, and after numerous accounts of Capitol Police saying you cannot be wandering around on your own, we don't need to really do anything to these folks. And I guarantee the mindset genuinely of people on the left is, well, it doesn't count when we do it. I mean, obviously, we weren't doing anything wrong. Well, just trespassing, that's all. Well, yes, but we didn't mean any harm. See, that's how the left always is. They violate laws, they violate rules that they expect other people to be held accountable for violating. But when they do it, it's different. We don't mean any harm. What we're doing is for a good cause. We're not the bad guys. So the rules, see, they aren't meant for people like us. They're meant for the others. Oh, and I'm sure Stephen Colbert will crow about it and note that it's different when his people do it because they're the good guys.
Your voice is needed.
The American people have to pull their heads out of their keisters.
Now more than ever.
And start thinking like responsible Americans.
Springfield's Talk 104.1. You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Streaming live, ksgf.com. California school board weighs Planned Parenthood clinic on high school campus because there are certain adults who are obsessed with the sex lives of kids. And what we are seeing is they are feeling more empowered. A Southern California school board will consider an agreement Monday for Planned Parenthood Los Angeles to open a clinic at the local high school. The 7-member school board member of the Norwalk La Mirada Unified School District will vote during a meeting Monday evening on allowing Planned Parenthood to open and operate a clinic for reproductive health care at John Glenn High School in Norwalk. Abortion and gender-affirming hormone therapy are not listed as services that will be provided at the on-campus site, but clinic staff will be permitted to make referrals to other Planned Parenthood centers for services not offered at the school. So in other words, they're wanting to put a recruitment center in the school. Now, there was a piece that was written by a former Planned Parenthood employee in the Wall Street Journal, or an interview with her in the Wall Street Journal some time ago, and I remember the Blaze talking about or having a piece on it, and this seemed like an appropriate time to bring it up, because what a lot of people don't realize is that while abortion used to be the big cash getter for Planned Parenthood, they have been shifting to instead convincing young people to go through hormone therapy and what they call gender reaffirmation. And I suspect with the Dobbs decision, we're really going to see this amping up and the recruitment of kids, convincing them that all of their angst, all of their preteen confusion will just melt away if they get a sex change operation, if they get hormone therapy, because that's what it is. What all of us went through as a normal part of growth, you now have schools brainwashing kids into believing that those feelings aren't normal unless you actually are trapped in the wrong body. That's what they're doing. And this has become their new moneymaker. Chris Bandolfo wrote, and this was from some time ago. I came across this piece last year, I think it was, and I don't believe it's anything I brought up on air, but I remembered it as I read this article about this California school that is going to be voting on allowing Planned Parenthood to set up a recruitment center in its school. And he wrote at the time, a former employee of Planned Parenthood is speaking out about the organization's abhorrent transgender activism and revealing that trans-identifying kids have become the, quote, cash cow for the number one provider of abortions in America. Wall Street Journal contributor and author Abigail Schreier interviewed the former employee, who spoke to her anonymously for her February 8th newsletter, and described how, as a, quote, reproductive health assistant, she was responsible providing hormone prescriptions to teenage girls who identified as boys and request them. According to her testimony, no doctors were present to evaluate the teenage girls her Planned Parenthood clinic serviced. The girls were not allowed or were not always accompanied by a parent, and the clinic manager responsible for deciding who should receive testosterone or other hormones had absolutely no prior medical experience. The unidentified employee claimed to have worked at a Planned Parenthood clinic that serviced a small town of around 30,000 people. She anecdotally shared that her clinic would service 1 to 2 biological female teens seeking testosterone for gender-affirming hormone care every single day. Now, we've got to take a break just because of the time constraints, but I want to get into this. And what we see here, there is no concern about health. There's no concern about mental health. This is becoming a revenue source. The recruitment and getting these kids hooked on the idea that they have to take drugs, which are oftentimes off-label. You know, that's a horrible thing to do if you're trying to get rid of COVID. But if you're wanting to irreversibly change your physical body, that's okay. That's cool. That's perfectly normal. And in fact, if you're against that, you're some sort of radical freak. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
With a high,
ahead of myself there. Went to the traffic a bit early, but that's all right. We'll do weather now. First Alert forecast sponsored by Navant. Employee benefits at work, heat advisory through 8 o'clock tonight for counties west of Springfield along the Arkansas line. Sunny, hot, 99 today. Heat index of 103. Clear, 76 tonight. Wednesday, Thursday, 102. And Friday, hot, 104. There is a school district in California that Monday is going to vote, and I'm sure they'll do so, to allow Planned Parenthood, a recruitment center within the school. Now, I say recruitment center. They say it's all for family planning, of course, because that's what preteens and teenagers need to be doing, encouraged to behave in such a fashion. But aside from that, they will be allowed to funnel those kids to centers if they think that their emotional struggles in life can be answered by receiving hormone therapy, testosterone, chemical castrations, completely irreversible damage to the body. And there was a Wall Street Journal piece that was done regarding Planned Parenthood some time ago, and they, as a source, used a former employee who noted that Planned Parenthood is shifting from abortion being their cash cow to these kids that they can convince are sad, confused, depressed, uncomfortable in their bodies because they're in the wrong body. And so, we can fix that for you. We can make all your dreams come true. Everyone will love you and accept you. All of your sadness will go away. All you need is to continue to come in so we can administer these drugs. The employee worked at a Planned Parenthood clinic that serviced a small town of only around 30,000 people, yet the clinic served 1 to 2 females, teens, every day that was seeking gender-affirming hormone care because they felt that is what would make them feel better. From Abigail Schreier, she's the Wall Street Journal contributor, from her newsletter, she noted that there were no doctors at the clinic where this woman worked. Nurse practitioners, worthy professionals with the highest medical training. The clinic employed a gender counselor who had no actual professional credentials or even any formal training other than being MTF, that is male to female transgender person. So they just found a transgender person, no background in counseling, no background in mental health, no medical background at all, and had that be the individuals that would counsel these kids as to whether or not this is the direction they should go. Adolescents would come and speak to the gender counselor, and Planned Parenthood would then forward the counselor's notes to an actual licensed mental health professional somewhere off-site and rubber stamp approve the patients to begin their transition. According to the employee, this is how they circumvented the requirement to speak to an actual counselor. Whether patients received specific treatments, a course of testosterone, say, was decided by the clinic manager, who also had no prior medical experience, whose prior job at that particular clinic was managing a Wendy's. Now, don't get me wrong, I love me Wendy's. It's one of my very favorites. But do we really think that that qualifies a person? This is what Planned Parenthood felt, that that was a solid qualification for somebody to counsel preteens and teens through transitioning, working at Wendy's. Yes, they really do care about providing quality care at Planned Parenthood. Each day, new teen girls would present at the clinic, sometimes with a mom. They often arrived in groups of girlfriends, all claiming childhood histories of gender dysphoria and asking to be put on testosterone. Did she believe their testimonials? Quote, I think they were telling what they perceived to be their authentic history to them at the time. Like, I was a 13-year-old girl, you know. Everything is very dire. Everything needs to be remedied immediately, she said. In any case, the script Planned Parenthood instructed her to read from did not grant much room for evaluation of patient histories. Quote, the questions that we ask were like very close-ended. It would be, you know, at what age did this start? Boom. That's it. What kind of dysphoria do you feel? Boom. That's it, you know. What do you want out of your transition? Do you want top surgery? Do you want bottom surgery? The former employee described how many of the patients who came to Planned Parenthood seemed to have serious emotional issues. A lot of them had a history of abuse and baggage. Some also had self-harm scars and fresh self-harm marks. But the employee claimed Planned Parenthood would not address those issues before moving on to immediately recommending affirming the patient's self-diagnosis of gender dysphoria and recommending hormone treatment, which contains serious risks, including decreased sexual function, increased health risk, sterility, and more. The former Planned Parenthood employee also described how providing cross-sex hormones treatments to trans-identifying children is a lucrative business for Planned Parenthood. Quote, trans-identifying kids are cash cows, and they are kept on the hook for the foreseeable future in terms of follow-up appointments, blood work, meetings, etc. Whereas abortions are one-and-done situation, the former Planned Parenthood employee said. Schreier notes that in recent years, Planned Parenthood has become one of the largest providers of hormone therapy for trans individuals in the nation. The employee defended Planned Parenthood's role in providing vital services for women, but also said their recent role in trans activism is abhorrent, and they're digging their own grave. Quote, I'll tell you, I struggled with the morality and reconciling of our actions and giving these kids testosterone and estrogen and stuff. I struggled with that more than I did being in operating rooms for like a 20-week abortion. It's a lot to see these kids interpreting their feelings in such a way that they end up being confused about their gender. She also said that as far as she knew, virtually none of the adolescents who came to her Planned Parenthood clinic for a hormone treatment were ever even turned away. She said none of the girls. One of the boys who did confess that he smoked so much weed that he was doubling up on his estrogen, we did end up ceasing his therapy until he saw, I think it was like a substance abuse counselor or something like that, but other than that, we never turned away anybody. These are pushers. They're drug pushers. But in a lot of ways, they're worse than the drug pushers that we know on the street. Because you and I have heard the success stories of people who have broken away from a life of drugs. Perhaps you've seen on social media someone that'll have a side-by-side photo of themselves back when they were addicted to meth or heroin, and then the picture today noting the tremendous difference and how it is that you can get back to a normal life. But these drug pushers that are preying on preteens and teens who have social anxiety are pushing drugs from which these individuals can never recover. Many of them testify as often as they can. There were last couple of weeks, California's looking at legislation that will help promote the pushing of such drugs. And there was a trans, I don't know if it was a he, she, they, but testifying, do not allow that. This is awful. This kid was someone that, just like a normal teenager, was sad, was depressed, had emotional conflict, and immediately the answer, of course, was gender dysphoria into you need to transition, here are the drugs, and irreversibly damage this kid's body. Counselor offices in some of these schools are now one of the most dangerous places you can go because this is their go-to every time there's a kid with confused feelings. Now, obviously, not all counselors buy into this stuff. Some actually care about kids. Some actually care about mental health. You know, it seemed like we were shifting at one point in this country where at least some were recognizing maybe throwing drugs at kids isn't the solution. Not that there aren't kids that can benefit from it, but we used to really focus on mental health counseling, and then you had the proliferation of so many different drugs, and oftentimes these shooters would be on them and kids would kill themselves. And so a lot of folks began to say, maybe we ought to back up here a little bit. Maybe we ought to not make mood-altering drugs the absolute immediate go-to. Maybe we should be a little more deliberate about this. But now we're going full force back in the let's go the drug route, but we're doing it with drugs that are irreversible. We're doing it with surgery that is irreversible. And there are countless adults out there now who are trying to get the message out, but social media, the pro-transgender folks who push this sort of thing, shame them. They tell them to shut up. There is actually a de-transition day that has been developed and is recognized by those who were falsely convinced that the answer to their woes was to do this, only to find out that it wasn't the case. And I'm telling you, I firmly, without question, believe. You know, you think about you're worried about your kids doing drugs, you're worried about the kid in the locker room or under the bleachers or wherever he may be that is pushing marijuana, that's pushing heroin. At least that stuff, if you get off of it, you can go back to the way you were before. What it is some of these people are doing to kids, in which they can never, ever, ever turn back the clock and return to the way they were before, it is absolutely sinfully wrong. Sinfully wrong. And I'm going to, and I've noted this before. We keep hearing people that want to push this sort of thing, citing statistics about 1 out of 4, 1 out of 5 trans youth attempt suicide. And they present it as if it's because they're bullied and giving them the means to forever alter their body is the answer to stop this. But I would suggest the following. If you're a young person who already feels confused, already feels emotionally upside down, already feels out of place, which is not uncommon for teenagers, and you have people that you are told that you can trust, counselors, teachers, advisors, psychologists, doctors, telling you, oh, we know what's wrong with you. We can fix this. You're just in the wrong body. You're actually a girl trapped in a boy's body or a boy trapped in the girl's body. So we have this answer for you. We have hormone therapy. We can go through surgeries. And then all of your problems will go away. The problems that you are feeling, that sadness, that darkness will go away. And you trust those people. And you go through the long, oftentimes painful alterations that they sold you on as the answer to happiness. And then you find out that it doesn't work. Yeah, I imagine that might drive some people to suicide. When they're citing these statistics, it is not because of bullying. Just imagine how you would feel if you had been convinced to undergo that sort of irreversible surgery as a key to your happiness, only to find out that it wasn't true. And then, when you try to warn others, you're told to shut up. You're ignored. You're tossed aside as if you're trash. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Emily Johnson, House Theory Realty. If you want somebody not just to be on your side, but to be on your side, and good people say, oh, I'm going to be on your side. I'm going to work for you. What if they're not very good at it? You're like, well, that sounded good at first. You want them to be really good at it. You need the marriage of those two things. Somebody who's passionate, loves what they do, fantastic results. They are the best at what they do. And they also want to utilize those characteristics to help you sell your home or buy your home, buy your new home. That's Emily Johnson, House Theory Realty. I'd follow her on social media if I were you, even if you're not currently in the market, because she has lots of great and interesting advice for people that are looking to buy homes, sell homes, or even just as a homeowner. And for people that are thinking about being realtors, I noted that last week she put advice on just how to stay safe. A lot of times these positions that one, without thinking, could put oneself in, going to show a home, you're alone and so forth, could end up with, an unpleasant outcome. And so this is just the sort of person that she is. She's a caretaker in that way. Emily Johnson, House Theory Realty. Follow her on Facebook. Find her under Nick's Endorsements at KSGF.com. Let's see here. All right. Two other things in the theme of the nonstop, constant pushing of transgender by adults on vulnerable kids. This is Michigan. A Michigan public school is hiding the transgender status of a student from the parents, allowing the student to go by a different name and pronoun while directing teachers not to let the parents know. In an email obtained by Fox News and addressed to teachers at Richards Middle School in Fraser, Michigan, a school counselor warned teachers ahead of the school's parent-teacher conference to only use the student's birth name and refer to the pronoun he when talking about the student's mother or when talking to the student's mother. The counselor refers to the student, who is a biological male, by their chosen female name and pronoun throughout the email, but informs the teacher that the parent is unaware of the transition. Now, so many things that are going on in the schools now, some schools, are things that as young people we were taught were red flags. You realize this. We were warned that there are certain adults out there that will try to do harm to you. These are things to watch out for. These are red flags. One of those things is if ever an adult tries to keep a secret with you and tells you not to tell your parents, that is wrong. That is unacceptable. There should never be any adult that tries to get you to keep a secret from your parents. Yet that is exactly what is occurring with this push of this transgenderism stuff on kids. Secondly, we were also told that parents, or that adults that weren't our parents, there are certain things that they should not be talking to you about, and one of them are things of a sexual nature, especially if you're in kindergarten or middle school. If ever an adult tries to talk to you about things like that, you tell your parents or tell a trusted adult, because there is no reason for that to occur. Now, what we have going on is the combination of the two things. You have adults that are obsessed with talking to kids about sex and then telling the kids, don't tell your parents. This is what groomers do. This is what we were all told as little kids to stay away from. This is dangerous. This is the sort of thing that an adult should not do. You get away from it. And now we have kids trapped in schools where they're subject to it. You even see every so often, and it's to make a point, and it's lost on some people, these parents that show up with the pornographic material that is of a sexual nature that, again, adults are pushing off on kids. And then they attempt to read them at school board meetings, and then they're shut down for it being inappropriate. Now, how can you rationalize an adult being shut down for reading something that is inappropriate to other adults, but say it's okay for adults to read to kids or to give to kids? That's called grooming. That is what groomers do. They talk to young people about sexual things, and then they say, don't tell anyone that we're having this discussion. And finally, this is just such a great story. BBC, sorry for interviewing a trans fighter who said that he loved hurting women. The BBC has apologized for interviewing a trans individual who previously wrote about how she, he's a male, identifies as a female, quote, loved beating up women, critical of transgenderism. Britain's state-owned broadcaster, the BBC, apologized for their decision to interview a trans MMA fighter who previously posted online how he loved beating up women critical of transgenderism, sometimes labeled as trans-exclusionary radical feminist TERFs by progressive opponents. The apology came shortly after leaks showed the militant institutional support for transgenderism within the British broadcaster, with it even altering a rape victim statement so as to not misgender the alleged rapist. According to a report by The Telegraph, Fallon Fox, that's the guy who identifies as a female, was interviewed after one sports body decided to exclude transgender individuals from women's sports. He said that he had, quote, knocked two out, and that one of the women that he harmed had their skull fractured as a result of their fight with him. Quote, for the record, I knocked two out. One woman's skull was fractured, the other not. And just so you know, he went on to say, I enjoyed it. See, I love smacking up TERFs in the case who talk transphobic nonsense. It's bliss. Now, my question is, why are they apologizing? If this is just a woman, if a woman is simply a label and nothing more, if a woman is simply any individual that declares, I'm a woman, and a woman beating up another woman, I mean, it's MMA fighting, female, what's the problem here? If this were a cisgender woman who said, I love beating up other women in the ring, would the BBC apologize? No, because sometimes here, there are realities that are undeniable. And even those who get either guilted into or they think they're being supportive of this so-called trans movement, when they hear a man talk about, who self-identifies as a woman, how much he loves beating up women, how he crushed the skull of a woman in and he loved doing it, even some of the more extreme recognize this is wrong. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
And yesterday, the wordsmith, Kamala Harris, spoke at the NAACP convention in Atlantic City, New Jersey. During her remarks, she reiterated her support for abortion by comparing pro-life laws to slavery. She said, quote, we know, NAACP, that our country has a history of claiming ownership over human bodies. Yeah, that's what pro-abortion people do. They, just like slave owners did in this country, claim that that autonomous human being, in terms of it is a human being, maybe inside person, but being inside you doesn't mean that that's your body. It has its own DNA. The baby has its own heartbeat, own fingerprints, own everything that a body has. And just like slave owners who argue, this is my property, hands off. Government needs to stay off my property, needs to stay. It's mine. I can do with it what I want. Pro-abortion people make the same argument when it comes to their unborn children. My property, you can't tell me what to do with it, can't survive without me, same argument slave owners made. So Kamala Harris, she is absolutely right that our country does have a history of claiming ownership over human bodies. The problem is, in her twisted mind, she's got it backwards. She, and she's obviously not the only one, believes that those of us who tell her, no, you cannot have ownership over another person's human body for the purpose of killing it or forcing him or her to be a slave, in her mind, that is, you know, the defenders of people having the right to their own body are the ones who are the offenders in taking that right away. Glenn Beck's coming up next. I'm Nick Reed.